everyone. Welcome back to the Stories Podcast. This week, we have a special double feature for you. The episode you're listening to now is a story from Greek mythology about the origin of wintertime. If you subscribe to our show, you'll also get a reading of The Night Before Christmas, one of our holiday favorites. To subscribe, just go to storiespodcast.com/subscribe and follow the simple steps. And now, Persephone's Winter. Enjoy! In the land of ancient Greece, the people believed in a mighty pantheon. A pantheon is a group of gods, each with different names and personalities. There was Poseidon, the Earthshaker and the god of the sea. There was Aphrodite, the perfectly beautiful goddess of love who was born from jealousy and seafoam. There was Ares, the god of war, terrible to behold with his spear and his sword and shield. But today's story starts with Demeter, the goddess of the harvest and the bringer of the seasons. Demeter was very entwined with the earth and all the things that grew from the soil. Her breath made the trees grow tall, and her bright, ringing laugh made the flowers bloom in all of their colors. When she was happy, the fruits would grow huge and juicy and delicious, and the vegetables would be crisp and flavorful. The joy of Demeter was the joy of all people, because it meant they would have a bountiful harvest and be well fed all year long. The other gods had to be careful, though, because Demeter's moods worked both ways. When the goddess was sad, the crops would wither and shrink in the fields. When she cried, the grapes would turn up into sour raisins on their vines, and the corn kernels would turn brown and rain down off of their cobs, and the people everywhere would be angry and very, very hungry. So the other gods did everything they could to keep Demeter happy, but they weren't always successful. Their biggest failure came from the unrelenting love of Hades, the god of the underworld. You see, Demeter had a daughter, the little Persephone, and they loved each other with all of their hearts. Every day, they would go and walk in the fields, and Persephone made Demeter so happy that all of the flowers they passed would bloom with radiant colors, and all of the crops grew high and heavy and full with the sweetest flavors. Persephone, like all crops and daughters, slowly but surely grew and matured. In what seemed like the blink of an eye, she was no longer a child, but a beautiful young woman. As she grew older, she would still accompany her mother on walks through the fields, but now she was full of questions about the world around them.
"Mother?"
she asked.
"What do the plants eat?"
"They don't eat like you or I," Demeter answered. "They take their meals from the sun, and they drink from the rain."
"Mother? What flowers are those? They look so pretty and they smell so good."
"Those are wild roses," Demeter would answer. Persephone went to pick one and drew back her hand with a gasp.
"They're sharp! Why are they sharp?"
"They have thorns to keep them safe. The roses are so beautiful and fragrant that all of the animals want to come eat them up. By growing thorns, they're able to protect themselves and grow in peace."
"Oh. Mother, what?"
And so on and so on. They were very happy, and as a result of Demeter's happiness, the people of the land had many years of bountiful harvests, where all of their cupboards and stomachs were very full. It was a summer that seemed like it would never end. But of course, no summer can go on forever.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
One day, Hades, the god of the underworld and lord of the dead, was feeling lonely. He lived in the underworld with all of the souls that had died, but occasionally he craved life and beauty. His only companion was Cerberus, an extremely loyal dog. Cerberus wasn't like most dogs, though, because instead of one head, he had three. When Cerberus barked, it came out of all three mouths at once and sounded like a trio of hungry hounds.
"Yes, yes, Cerberus,"
said Hades, sitting on his great black throne.
"I know, I'm lonely as well. A queen? It makes sense. After all, I am the king of the underworld." "Oh, very well. Go fetch your leash." "A joke, Cerberus. Let's go find me a bride."
So Hades took Cerberus, and together they left the underworld in Hades' magic chariot that was pulled by four flying horses. They flew over the cities, searching among all the women in the land, but they found none that Hades desired. Finally, after they had given up hope, they landed in a picturesque field in the countryside. The flowers were extraordinarily lovely, and the grapes were sweet as sugar and nearly as large as Cerberus's big fluffy paws. Hades and his dog both ate grapes, Cerberus eating three at a time, one in each mouth, until their chins were sticky and their tongues stained purple with juice. They sat back in the field. Hades was already growing tired of the bright sun and the soft grass. He was a creature of the underworld, and he was most comfortable among the hard stone and the dark passages of his home. The land of the living was fun to visit occasionally, but he rarely stayed longer than an hour or two. After that, the sun made his head swim and the grass made his body itch.
"You ready to head home, boy?"
he said to Cerberus.
"All right, then. Let's go home."
He trailed off, because across the field, he caught sight of the beautiful young Persephone. She went ambling along, picking long-stemmed roses and weaving them into a rough crown, singing as she went.
"The stars around the loving moon fade black and vanish very soon, when round and full her silver face swims into sight and lights all space. The clouds about the burning sun shed their rain and burn often, when bright and warm her golden face rounds the world with all God's grace. Day and night ever at war, like man and beast and waves and shore, but in their union worlds are born, and from the wombs of titans torn."
Hades was so struck by the simple beauty and the captivating voice of the girl that he could only stare, but Cerberus is bounded across the field. He flew at Persephone and then leaped, knocking her over and onto her back, roses flying. The three heads came in fast, looking happily at the girl's face. Most people were deathly afraid of the big, great Cerberus, but Persephone only laughed as the three heads fought for position to give her a big, wet dog kiss.
"Cerberus, down!"
cried Hades as he crossed the field.
"Leave her be!"
"Oh, he's okay. He's just a big love."
"He doesn't usually like people,"
said Hades, and it was true. Usually Cerberus was fairly vicious. But still, there he was, grunting happily in this strange woman's lap.
"So, what did you say his name was?"
asked Persephone.
"He's Cerberus,"
said Hades, staring. The god of the underworld found himself enchanted by this young woman and her fearless, ringing laugh. Unfortunately for Persephone, the king of the underworld was suddenly sure he'd found his queen.
"Cerberus,"
said Persephone, her face twisted in thought. She had heard that name before, but where? Didn't her mother mention something about a dog named Cerberus? Wasn't he the pet of...
"Oh, no!"
cried Persephone, suddenly realizing she was speaking with the god of the dead and the king of the underworld. She got up and tried to run, but she found Cerberus suddenly in her path. Three heads split in wide snarls. The hound chased her backwards into Hades' arms. The god grabbed her, and she felt herself beginning to faint. As the bright field faded into an inky black, her last thought was that his hands were strangely cold. Persephone woke up in a beautifully furnished room. The walls were painted gold, and the floor was coated with layer upon layer of rich Persian rugs. There was a plush cushion for lounging, and a wooden table carved in the likeness of the gods, covered with bowls of fresh fruit. Persephone herself was laying on an ornate four-poster bed under a billowing canopy of fine white silk. It was truly a gorgeous room, but underneath all of the luxury, there was a lingering smell that reminded Persephone of a guttering fire in an old cave. She rolled out of the bed and was surprised to see she was clad in a flowing white dress so long that the lace hems brushed the fine woven rugs. It was beautifully made, but something about it made Persephone's skin crawl. Next to the bed, she found white slippers of the same material and slipped them on. She expected the door to the room to be locked, so she was surprised when it swung open at her touch. On the other side was a long hallway of dark red stone, and a terrible howling sound, like a strong wind through a dense forest. She shut the door, her heart racing. What was she going to do? Clearly Hades had taken her back to the underworld, but why? And how long had she been asleep? Her mother was expecting her back by dark, but it was impossible to tell time in the underworld. She could only hope that her mother noticed she was missing when she didn't come home for dinner. Dinner. Her stomach rumbled with the thought. Suddenly, Persephone felt like she hadn't eaten in ages. She looked at the table, laden with delicious fruits of all kinds, and picked up a ripe pomegranate. Using her teeth, she ripped it open, and the scarlet seeds rained down onto the table. She ate one, and it was the most refreshing thing she had ever tasted. The tangy juice ran down her dry throat and made her want to sing. She ate another, and another. And it wasn't until she had swallowed 6 seeds that she remembered something her mother used to say. Gods and their children are permitted to visit the underworld, but if we ever eat any of the food grown there, we would never again be allowed to leave. Never be allowed to leave? What had she done? Realizing too late her mistake, she sat on the bed, held herself tight, and tried to think of a plan, doing her best to ignore the rumbling coming from her empty stomach. She remembered the rose and the thorns, remembered how the beauty combined with the surprising sharpness, and she vowed to be the same. It worked for a bit, but before long the door swung open. It was Hades, come for his bride. Back home, Demeter had noticed her daughter was missing. She went searching for Persephone in the fields and valleys, and finally came upon the great black crack in the earth where Hades had pulled Persephone into the underworld. All around that evil crack, the goddess saw signs of the great three-headed Cerberus, and after much hunting, she found a few strands of Persephone's long golden hair stuck on a root. She screamed then in fury, because she knew she wasn't able to get to the underworld without the assistance of Zeus, king of the gods, and Zeus was a notoriously fickle leader. She climbed to the heights of Mount Olympus, home of the gods, and told Zeus of her daughter's abduction by Hades.
"Unacceptable!"
bellowed Zeus, and thunder boomed as he spoke. You see, he was also the god of storms, and when he was angry, he liked to smite his enemies with powerful bolts of lightning.
"Does that villain Hades think he is beyond my reach in the underworld?" Zeus roared. "Hermes, come to me!"
Hermes was Zeus's son, and the messenger of the gods. He had magical sandals that had wings, allowing him to fly everywhere from the top of Mount Olympus to the depths of the underworld. He was a small, skinny fellow, and he talked as fast as a hummingbird flew.
"Yes, sir, here I am, sir," he said.
"Go to Hades and retrieve the young Persephone. Don't come back until it's done," Zeus said.
"Yes, sir, right away, sir," said Hermes, and he flew down off the mountain.
Demeter was thankful, but also a little surprised. Zeus wasn't normally so helpful. What she didn't know was that Zeus had to be helpful. As soon as Demeter realized Persephone was missing, her heart was so broken that all of the crops had withered and died, and all of the grassy fields turned into a barren wasteland. The grief of the harvest goddess was so complete that even the ancient trees on Mount Olympus would no longer bear olives. And Zeus loved olives. So he and Demeter sent his son Hermes to the rescue, none of them knowing that they were 6 pomegranate pips too late. The messenger god plummeted toward the ground from on high and slipped gracefully through the crack in the earth that Hades had opened. He followed the twisting tunnel at high speed, weaving through the rock, feeling the temperature rising with each passing mile. Finally, he threw into a great chamber of red stone. Before him were 2 thrones, artfully assembled from bone and horn, and great sheets of leather like the wings of giant bats. Seated on the thrones were Hades and Persephone. Hermes flew down, prepared to grab the girl and fly her to safety. Cerberus launched himself out of the shadows behind the thrones, knocking Hermes to the ground and holding him down. Long strings of hot drool oozed from the hound's 3 mouths and coated Hermes' face.
"Shoo, that's a good doggy now," said Hermes, his voice quaking.
"Why, if it isn't Zeus's little errand boy,"
drawled Hades.
"What can we do for you?"
Hermes tried to speak, but with Cerberus on his chest, all that came out was a squeaky gasp.
"Squee!"
"Cerberus, let the boy breathe,"
said Hades, and the dog trotted back to lay in front of the thrones, one head keeping its eyes on Hermes. Hermes dusted himself off and tried to look as godlike as he was able.
"Zeus commands you to release the girl immediately," he said.
"Sorry, Hermes, but I'm fond of this one,"
said Hades.
"She's beautiful and kind, and for some reason, she makes my underworld feel a little more verdant."
"That's because she's Demeter's daughter," said Hermes.
"What?"
said Hades, obviously confused.
"Her mother is Demeter, and she's upset nothing's growing because you stole her only daughter," said Hermes.
"Demeter's daughter?"
bellowed Hades.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
he said to Persephone. But Persephone wasn't there. She had waited until Hades was distracted by Hermes and whispered, "I am the rose." With that,
she slipped off her throne, out of Hades' reach, and darted towards the messenger god.
Cerberus, stop her!
Cried Hades. But the three-headed dog was too slow, though the third head did manage to tear a chunk out of her white dress. She reached the messenger god and jumped onto his back.
Hermes, fly!
No!
Said Hades. But the messenger god was already launching from the ground, his winged sandals beating furiously at the air. Persephone clung to his back, her white wedding dress blowing in the air. Persephone felt the momentary joy of freedom, but it didn't last long. As they approached the crack in the ceiling, Hermes suddenly came to an abrupt halt.
Hermes, why are we stopping?
I can't go any further. It's not letting me pass. From below, the echoing laughter of Hades. Hermes floated slowly back to the ground, trapped. What have you done? Why can't we leave? Cried Hermes. But Hades only looked at Persephone, who was looking at her feet.
It's my fault. I ate 6 pomegranate pips before I remembered that I'd be stuck here. Please tell my mom I'm sorry.
But I can't, you can't, Mother will be so upset, nothing will ever grow again.
Well, we can't have that.
Even though he was the lord of the underworld, he was still a god, and he knew it was important to maintain a balance between the heavens and the earth and the underworld. If Demeter wasn't appeased, it could mean an eternal winter, and the underworld would soon be overflowing with unfortunate souls.
I'll tell you what,
he said.
Since you ate the pips, I'll keep you 10 months of every year, and let your mother have you for 2.
That's not fair. I only ate 6. At most it should be 6 months here and 6 with her.
Fine, fine. You can go. But in 6 months' time, you'll return to me and be my bride. I'll have your oath on it.
I swear by all the gods. In 6 months' time and for 6 months a year forever after, I will be your bride.
Very well. Fly away then, my pretty little bird. I'll have you back come Pionepsion.
Which is what the ancient Greeks called October. So the deal was made. Hermes flew Persephone back home to her mother, Demeter, and she wept with joy to see her daughter alive and well. However, 6 months later, when Persephone returned to Hades, Demeter fell into a dark depression. This is how Greek mythology explains the seasons. The summer is when Demeter and Persephone are together, and their joy makes the world bloom. Fall is when Persephone returns to Hades, and Demeter becomes depressed, causing the trees to lose their leaves and the crops to dry up in the field. When she misses her daughter the most is when we experience winter, and that dark season lasts until mother and daughter are reunited in spring. So that is the tale of Persephone, the young queen of the underworld who spends half her life presiding over the dead from her throne of bones, and the other half spreading life and love with her mother. The end. Thanks for listening. Our story today was written by Daniel Hines and produced by Jacob Letizia. Persephone was read by our friend Amanda Weldon, and Dan read the role of Hades. Check back next week for more exclusive content, and please subscribe on iTunes, either on your computer or through the podcast app on your phone. When you subscribe, you help us make more free family-friendly content, and you get the latest episodes and exclusive extras delivered right to your computer or phone. If you're having trouble, you can go to storiespodcast.com/subscribe, and we will walk you through it. Happy holidays!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.